Afternoon, welcome back. 4:48 at 7:30 WTNT. The Truth. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times, and I'm joined now by Darren Snyder, Washington Times sports columnist. Hello, Darren.
Hey, Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I saw your column today. It's all about the Army-Navy game coming up tomorrow. It's called To Know Rivalry, Look Past the Game. And this is not your average football game, is it?
No, it's not. And as I mentioned in the column, I had failed to really fully grasp the meaning of the game until this year when I had a chance to talk to some of the participants in the game.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to see an LSU-Alabama-type football game tomorrow, are you?
No, these guys are soldiers and sailors first and foremost who have bigger things on their plate after they get out of school. So for the most part, these would not be guys who would get scholarships to play at the football powerhouses that we're used to seeing all the time on Saturday afternoons. But that's not to say that it's not a very spirited competition.
No, that's for sure. In fact, you have to go back a ways to find guys coming from Army or Navy that made it onto the NFL and stayed in the bigs. You saw a different outlook. You mentioned when you went to the Army-Navy Country Club, there was, a press briefing or something there?
Right, they had a news conference or a media day type situation where you get to interview several players and the coaches from both teams, and that's when, you know, that was my first exposure to cadets and midshipmen, and you talk to them, you look at them, and you get a sense of who they are, what they're about, and it really helps you to gain a better appreciation for the commitment that they've made to attend these military academies, the Naval Academy and the Military Academy, and knowing what they have laying ahead of them, yet they're out there, you know, playing for school spirit and for their respective branch of the service. And it is really, you know, I didn't mean to be corny or anything, but now I get why they say it's really more than a game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these young guys, they represent, and as you said, an entire branch of the military. And believe me, they have a following that extends all the way around the world, and a lot of those guys will be tuned in tomorrow watching this.
Absolutely. And, you know, the pressure that they feel to beat, you know, if they lose every game of the year, it's fine as long as they beat their arch rival. And neither team, Navy's been pretty successful lately going to bowl games and such. So this year they've had a down year. And they don't have a bowl game for the first time in a while. But they've won the last 9 games in the rivalry. So they're looking at this as their bowl game, and it's the Army Navy game. Army's lost 9 in a row. They're not going to a bowl game. So yeah, Both teams are very desperate to win, as they are every year.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's something that I've noticed over the years, and I know you did as well. The coaches take such great pride in holding the position of a head coach for one of these teams.
Yes, they do. And the Navy coach, whose name I'm not very well at pronouncing, he spoke about what an honor it is to be around these guys. And the Army coach, whose name I can handle a little easier, his name is Rich Ellison, he has mentioned how, unlike other coaches at Army who try to cut more slack for the players to get them more football time, he wants them to do everything every other Army cadet does and then worry about football, because he figures whatever they're getting away from the field, ultimately it's going to help them once they get on the field.
Yeah. Now, at the end of the game, there's been a tradition for years and years where the losing team has to stand there and suffer the indignity of the winning team singing their song, right?
Right, right. They do this in the academies. They play for something called the Commander's Cup. So they do this also when Army and Navy play Air Force. So the tradition is that the loser sings their alma mater first.
Right.
And then after that, they have to go and stand there while the victor sings their alma mater. And this year when Navy played Air Force, Navy's captain, Alexander Teach, he was so frustrated, he walked off the field and ended up being suspended for a game. But they talked about how much that hurts to stand there while the team that is your arch rival sings their alma mater, and you just have to you don't grin and bear it, but they suffer through it.
Yeah, I know. It's true. You know what's always neat, though? Looking at the crowd in the stadiums, and I've watched many of these over the years, you see one side of the stadium, for the most part, as Army, one as Navy, and it's just constant entertainment, not only on the field, but within the stands.
Right. And the procession, which I haven't paid as much attention to it as I will now, but I have noticed the procession and the numbers that come out and they're marching and they're in formation, and it's very impressive to see. And then in the stands, there's so many students from the respective schools, and that by itself, it adds a lot to the pageantry of it.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, I think a lot of people attend the game, too, out of respect for the military and what they do. You can see that in the crowd of, you know, of the crowd that is not in uniform, and that's a very, very special part of the day. It happens tomorrow, FedEx Field at 2:30, Army-Navy game. Guaranteed the place will be rocking, and I know that you're going to be watching it.
Yeah, having it in the nation's capital, everyone has mentioned how special it is. Surprisingly, to me at least, it's never been played in the D.C. area. So this is the first time.
Is that right? I had
that
no
is
idea.
That's what I kept hearing, that this is the first time it's been in the D.C. area. Several people mentioned that, participants. And, 10 years after 9/11, of course, it's very significant to be in this area, and there's a thought that maybe this can become sort of a regular stop for the game, if not the permanent home.
That's amazing to me, you know, because they've been playing this game since what, the 1800s?
1890, and it was held in Philadelphia for years and years and years.
That's right.
I know it's been in at Giant Stadium, but I believe this is the first.
Wow.
Time it's been in the nation's capital. Technically, it's in Landover, Maryland, but we won't quabble.
No. We don't talk about that. All right, Darren. Hey, listen, thanks for your help. Enjoy the game.
Oh, thanks, Andy. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Darren Snyder.